The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 533. It's the 15th of July, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Chief Executive Officer of Macanga Resources, MKA's ticker, that's Will Dawes. He outlines the company's assets and potential. Newly floated, I think been on the stock market now for 3 weeks. So that's MKA. Also on the podcast, it's a Friday, so I have award-winning technical analyst, Nicola Duke. And she looks at the following stocks, as suggested by the guys on Twitter there. Lloyds, Amrit Pharma, Jubilee Platinum, Metal Tiger, and Northcote Energy. And today's penny stock with potential, suggested by Simon, is coincidentally Prospect Oil and Gas, PXOG. Now, Ed was supposed to be on the podcast today, but he's not feeling very well, so we've postponed that. So it's nice to have this on. Well done. Thank you, Simon. You'll see tuning into my head there. And also, I have the broker buys and sells.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of Macanga Resources. That's MKA ticker, Will Dawes. Thanks for coming on, Will.
Thanks, Justin.
Now, I know a little bit of that company. At the moment, the share price is just over 4 pence, market cap at 3 million. But I don't know a huge amount, because I know you're newly listed, not floated very long. It's a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, is it now, I think?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we listed June the 15th.
That's right, yeah. So for the benefit of me and others listening, can you take us over, you know, a brief summary of what you're all about there at Macanga, please, Will?
Well, Macanga is focused on an advanced stage rare earths project in Malawi. We also have an interesting uranium exploration play as well. The rare earths project, we secured that license in January 2010, listed on TSXV in January 2011, raising in various rounds about 13 million Canadian dollars, which we've invested into the project. Two rounds of drilling, and when we picked up the rare earths project, there was a historical resource of around 1.4 million tons. We upgraded that to a 30 million ton indicated inferred resource, completed a lot of metallurgical test work, and then put out an updated pre-feasibility study in November 2015. And we're working in Malawi, which is a great place to work. A lot of infrastructure developments happening in the country, new railway line, good paved road network, power developments, and a new dry port planned for that railway line. So we're very well placed in Malawi for our rare earths project.
Okay, so essentially you're in Malawi, and I'm looking at the website here. You've got two projects, like you say. Is it, how do you pronounce this? Songwe Hill, is it?
So Songwe Hill rare earths project, and that sits within the Palombe license.
Okay, and Thumbani, and that is what the uranium is it as well?
That's correct. The Thumbani license has what we believe to be very good potential for uranium, niobium, and tantalum. I think uranium is really the main focus. And there's been a lot of historical work completed in this area. And recently, we received the data from the World Bank-funded airborne study, which covered both the Palombe license and the Thumbani license. And that really confirmed some of these quite widespread uranium anomalies. One of them, for example, measured around 3 kilometers by about 1.5 kilometers. And some of the sort of groundwork that we've completed in the past and the sampling, where we got some very interesting very interesting uranium values, sort of coincided with that sort of uranium anomaly. So we think very interesting potential for uranium, also niobium and tantalum. In parallel with the radiometric results, we also received the results of the magnetic survey, which also indicated a number of anomalies, which will be very interesting to follow up.
Okay. Let's start with the Songwe Hill there. Now, take us through rare earths. Why are they appealing at the moment? What is their profile? And what's the supply demand? Can you take us through some of the background of that, the Songwe Hill project?
Well, I think rare earths, they're geared to the two major areas of growth are clean technology and sort of consumer electronics. So that's where a lot of the growth is coming from. Over 50% of rare earths demand is geared to clean technology. So that's sectors like or end uses such as wind turbines, hybrid vehicles, catalytic converters. And I think so similar drivers to, for example, clean technology similarly drives the sort of lithium sector, for example. And we're seeing a lot of growth in clean technology going forward. At the same time, China is the biggest producer of rare earths. You're seeing the cost basis in China increasing. You're seeing the Chinese government has a policy to reduce illegal production in China to consolidate the industry. So we think the supply-demand outlook is positive in the longer term, and really it's driven by this whole clean technology growth.
Yeah, so it's a progressive area, and it's developing, and it's getting bigger, isn't it? So obviously this is a good place to be as far as you're concerned. So where are you as far as Songwe? So where are you? You mentioned there the study there, feasibility. So can you tell us on the timeline where you are, please?
Yes, we released an updated pre-feasibility study in November last year. What's key is we're one of the very few advanced stage rare earth projects or listed sort of rare earth companies still focused on moving their project forward. There's been a lot of attrition in the sector, and we're one of the very few advanced stage projects. And we're also amongst the lowest capex in the sector. Clearly, that's one of the biggest sort of barriers to entry for any mining project. So we feel that's a very positive thing. The pre-feasibility study also identified a number of areas where we can improve the flow sheet and reduce costs. So that's certainly something we're focused on at the moment. I mentioned the 30 million ton indicated and inferred resource. There's a lot of potential resource upside, and there's also potential to convert some of that inferred resource into the indicated category, which would extend the mine life. The headline numbers, NPV, 345 million, IRR 37%, and CapEx around 216 million, 18-year mine life with potential to extend.
Wow, that's a lot of potential, as we can see, you know, if everything goes to plan there from a 3 million market cap. And so what next there at Songwe? What's next for you?
Well, the next stage is really to optimize the flow sheet. As I mentioned, the pre-feasibility study identified areas where we can, you know, improve the processing flow sheet, reduce costs. So really that's the main focus at the moment. And really we're looking to position the project and the company to bring in a partner to accelerate development of the project and complete the full bankable feasibility study. So yeah, That's really the goal at the moment.
Okay. And a bit about yourself there, Will. So how come, you know, where you are today, where have you come from to be where you are here with Makango?
Well, the group itself is co-founded by myself and Alex Lemon. We're both sort of geologists by training. And my background, I worked for Rio Tinto, then worked in investment banking, and then co-founded this sort of group around sort of 10 years ago. And we looked at, you know, a lot of projects around the world, Central Asia, Middle East, and other countries in Africa, and really focused in on Malawi as a good place to do business. We saw a lot of potential there. We saw the infrastructure developments in the country gaining momentum. We've had a lot of support from the government. And so we saw a real opportunity there that that we could build a business. So that's really the country that myself and Alex Lemon have been focused on for the last 10 years. And, you know, through that process, I feel, you know, we've built up a competitive advantage. We've got a very strong focus on stakeholder relationships and community development. And in parallel with the infrastructure that's being put in place, I think that gives us a real competitive advantage in the country. So where we've got to is really a culmination of a lot of hard work in the country and 10 years continuity of management have really got us to this sort of place. I think with the AIM listing, so we're now dual listed on AIM and TSXV. That gives us a great platform to really move the project and the company forward.
Yeah, well, and also what I'm looking at companies, I often use an acronym, which is CASH is the acronym, C-A-S-H. And so essentially you've gone through your CV there and looks like you've got some good background, strong background, especially dropping the name Rio Tinto. I like that. And you also hold shares in the company yourself, is that correct?
That's right. We have shares held through a holding company, a private holding company called Leo Minex. And we also have options in the company. So our incentivization, as it were, is mainly through equity.
Cool. Well, that's the S in CASH done. The H is head honchos, is you've done as well as a background. So A, you've got the asset there. And C in CASH does stand for cash. And so as far as CASH is concerned, what about funding here? How is that looking?
So we, as part of the AIM listing on June the 15th, we raised £1 million, and that gives us sufficient working capital for around 18 months. And I think our strategy at the moment, clearly it's a tough market. We have, our strategy is to collaborate, for example, on research and development projects. So we're involved in some very significant research projects sort of globally, which enables us to complete work on a cost-effective basis and add value from the expertise we've built up focusing on rare earths over the last sort of 6 years. We don't have big overheads. We've got a small team in Malawi, small team in the UK, and we got a CFO based in Canada. So our strategy is low overheads, maximize the funding that sort of goes into the ground, and to sort of leverage off research relationships that we've developed and built up over the last few years.
Marvellous stuff. Well, I think you've got a nice broad update there as the company, and I've learned a lot more. For anyone that needs any more convincing, could you give us three reasons why an investor listening right now should put Makanga Resources on their Vox Markets watch list, please?
Absolutely. I think, firstly, we're one of the very few advanced stage rare earth projects globally, in a listed company. And obviously, rare earths are geared to that high growth clean tech sector, which is really sort of gaining momentum at the moment. And lastly, we have that sort of parallel exploration upside in relation to our Tambani uranium project. So I think those are the key reasons.
Thank you very much, Will, for coming on. And listen, please do come back on when you have some more news to share.
Great. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast, it's a Friday, it's the lady with the technical, the Duchess of the Chart, and the award winner from last night, the best technical analyst.
I think they only voted for me because I'm a girl. Thank you very much. Thank you.
No, you've got to have more ability than that. You've been a girl, just won't sweat.
As well, so I hope I'm really sorry I couldn't go, and I hope this event went well.
Yeah, well, Zach was annoyed because Zach's been on the podcast this morning for the morning thing, and he was going to
spit on the podcast. Bitching about me.
No, he just basically said that he was gutted and he had to give the award and you weren't there, so that's fine. But listen, Zach has sort of won and you've won again because this podcast was best podcast voted last night, so everyone contributes to it or listens
to it. This podcast is great, actually, yeah.
Apparently he's the best, so there we are. Hey! Okay, so no, it's good. So, thanks.
Not quite as good as ours, of course, but
listen, thanks to everyone who helps the podcast, the guys at Vox there, you guys who contribute, you guys who listen, you people who voted, thank you very much. It's really nice to win awards, it does sort of say, are we doing something right? That's which is quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, think it does. So yeah, thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you very much. Anyway, let's get on to stocks as suggested by people on Twitter and stuff. Let's do what we're here to do. And so I sent you a list there. And right now I've lost the list, but
Lloyds. That's it.
So that was suggested by somebody there. Let's go on there. It's had a bit of a rebound, hasn't it? I think.
It has had a bit of a rebound. And, you know, it's rebounded off, you know, if we draw Fibonacci retracement from the 2011 low in Lloyds Bank, we've retraced exact. The Brexit low was 61.8% retracement, which is very common. It's like, you know, the Phi golden ratio thing. So from there, we can expect a rally to the 38.2, which is at 63.
All right.
So I really like Lloyds. The upside target is 63. It's behaving really nicely. The problem at the moment is the bottom of that big Brexit gap. So your trigger would be the first daily close above 57.25.
Okay.
So your first daily close above 57.25 says that the next move higher is under the way. And yes, target is 63.
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, that chart looks exactly the same as the you know, house building charts. Exactly the same gap down.
And, exactly. And it looks exactly like the British pound as well.
Yeah.
First move higher is 63.50 is the target. I really like it.
Yeah, I think it'll go up there. I think, you know, like I said, the RSI is climbing slowly, isn't it? The MACDs have just crossed there, so it's, it'll bob along, but I think it should break.
We're just holding under the 20-day moving average, 20-day exponential moving average. First close above it, I think, will be the go.
Okay. Next one is Amrit Pharma. Now, I hold these. I bought them. I wrote a blog because they took over a company, and they've got a good board of directors there. They've got a couple of drugs in the pipeline, and they've got cash. But it's been, since they released no news, since they come back to the markets that they acquired, it's been drifting, the share price. I think, hang on, this is the IPO is at 24 pence, and they're raising a fundraising of 24 pence. And I'm just thinking, what's going on here? So I've just been buying slowly. We've had a bounce last couple of days, and I think, you know, it's just overlooked because there's no news coming out about this company, but they have got potential to be massive, you know? So 15.5 pence right now. We've had a couple of positive days. What do you think?
Yeah, it's having a go, but, you know, this 15.50 where we closed yesterday is a problem, and we're closing below the 20-day moving average. That was like capped us at the end of June. That's the level. I do think it's going to go higher to at least 16.50, and I think it'll probably retrace higher than that. I'm looking at 19.50 for an upside target, but it's got to get above the 20-day moving average, and until it does, it's really not exciting.
I see. In the meantime, I'm just acquiring a little bit here and there. So waiting.
I mean, everything says momentum indicators say it should go, but that's the resistance. You need a daily close above 15.50, and you need to get above that 20-day moving average, which we've just got. You know, it's not much data since this one restarted.
No, it's not. No, you're right there.
But
yeah, but it's nice to see though. It's finally, you know, bottom, because it's been going down, drifting for a long time, and at last it's finally, you know, stopped drifting down, you know.
I think what this one might do, it might make a pop move up to 19.50, and if it does that, it hasn't gone without you, wait and then buy it back on a dip towards 15.50 if it does that, because that will say that the bottom's in and we've reversed the trend.
Marvellous. All right, let's go to the next one then. Jubilee Platinum JLP.
And everybody loves this one. It's a bit over, you know, I still like this one, but it's a bit oversold. So we've got back above the 200-day moving average again. That 200-day moving average is at 325. And this time we're holding above. Like, we really need to see it sit here and then move higher from here. So I do like it, but there's a risk in this one, and the pivot and the 50% retracement from the lows and the 50% retracement from that big move on the 4th of July is around 3.075. If it dips back there, I think it's a great buy.
Okay, alrighty. All right, that's Jubilee Platinum. And Platinum, price has been strengthening recently. So
it has, metals are doing well. So
Metal Tiger, MTR, chatted to Paul Johnson, CEO, last night at the Momentous Events. And fair play, he's a hard-working guy. And this company probably sends out more RSs than anyone else. And he says, you know, it's to keep the shareholders up to date. And they've got a lot of fingers and lots of pies. But it had that spike, didn't it, back in, when was that, a couple of months back, at 6 pence. It's drifted back down to, what, almost 3 pence now, and it's 3.8 at the moment.
Yeah, really nice bullish day yesterday, though, along with everything else. I really like this one. I think it's bottomed. You know, since the end of June, we've made higher low, higher high. We closed yesterday above the 50-day moving average for the first time, you know, since May, end of May. So looks good. I think it's turned support. You know, it's the problem with this one is that it's got a bit overbought with that big move. Support lies around 3.65. I think any dips back to there are a buy, or wait for it to tag the 20-day and buy against it, because it looks good.
Okay, and the last, it's another tiddly here, North Coal Energy, North Coal, NCT. And I've had Randy on the podcast a couple of times, you know what I'm saying? And yes, we're at 0.0285 at the moment. And wow, you could draw a line, a ruler under that support there.
If this was a heart monitor on a patient, you would just turn everything off, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But do you know what? Sometimes you see these things like this, like I said, it testing the support for a long time, and all of a sudden, it's almost like all the sellers are gone, and it just needs something to restart the heart, and it just jumps, doesn't it? Some of these kind of things.
So the Fibonacci support is 0.3, and we haven't closed below that level. It's holding it really well. It was the lows in January. We've had a few probes below, but we can't close below. We finally now, you know, the 20-day and the 50-day moving average are at 0.3. So this time, if we close at 0.4, which we did in April, but that was still below those moving averages, if we close at 0.4 now, we're above them all, and that will trigger some bias. So the next close at 0.4, I think, says that we're on our way.
Yeah.
And our first target would be the 2015 lows, which are at 0.8.
Okay, cool. Well, do you know what? I was looking at that spike. When it dropped, it gapped down. What was that? On the 21st of April, it gapped down, and then it tried to go back up, and then it was at 4.25 or something like that. I mean, you think if it goes above that, that's quite positive, isn't it? That's where
that's your signal that it's going to go.
Yeah. Because also, that's where pretty much I've got the 125 moving average. I quite like that moment, 125. So there we are.
Yep.
Okay, marvellous, Nicola. And can you send me the charts?
I will. So put a price alarm on Northcote, you know.
Yeah.
Like, at the moment, like literally since the 6th of May, every close has been at 0.3. Any close above that is a bullish signal.
Do you use price alerts?
I do.
What are you? What's
because there's so many. Yeah. Because there's so many, and I can't.
Yeah, no, I do as well. I mean, religiously, and I normally, if I'm very efficient, I look at them every evening. But sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Marvelous, Nicola. If you could send me the award-winning charts that you often annotate for me on a Friday, and I'll put those award-winning charts on the website for people to see why you've won that award.
Oh, thank you very much.
Have a nice weekend.
You too, bye.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential, suggested by Simon. Let me point out, every stock, everything mentioned on this podcast is an investment idea. Some ideas are good, some ideas are bad. Please do your own research before you decide to invest in anything. This is not investment advice. This is just a bit of research, a stepping stone for your start of your research. So please look into the stocks mentioned here. Simon goes with Prospect Oil & Gas, PXOG. What does the company do? Oil & Gas. How many shares does the company have in issue? 205 million. 1.18 pence is the price. 2.5 million market cap. Just under 2 million in cash they have. No debt, apparently. It lists three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, upcoming drill in Q4. Boleslaw project with Colo license. At 87 BSCF and a risked current valuation ranging from 5 to 8 million. Fully funded for the drill, just under 2 million cash is reason two. And reason three, valued at just above cash. Nothing is priced in yet, so it's worth checking that out. And if you go on VoxMarkets, actually, .co.uk/company/PXOG, or just search for Prospect Oil and Gas there, you can hear a bit of an audio that Doc did with Ed there from the company. And also, I've done a previous podcast, about 2 weeks back, I think, with Ed. So probably worth listening to that as well. In fact, do you know what? I'll dig up the link and put it on the page there. So just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and click this blog, then you'll see the link there. All right, today's broker buys and says, sorry, I'm feeling me under the weather. Last night, bit of a late night, and went to the Momentous Events, Big Gibbs event at the O2, a very nice free food, free drink. Didn't get much free food, though. I was chatting to companies mainly, interviewing them. But a nice event, and there was a little award ceremony, and I had to leave before that came on because I had a train to catch. But apparently, Vox Markets are one best podcast, which was very nice. Thank you very much if you voted, if you're a regular listener. Thanks to everyone involved in the team there at Vox, and also all the contributors that come on, because obviously that's the show. It's everyone. It's not me. It's everyone there that's involved. So thank you very much to anyone involved. Anyway, broker buys and sells. Barclays Capital has upgraded Khan Energy to overweight. Oh, I'm a bit overweight today. £2.75 target. Numis upgraded Learning Technologies Group to buy. Price target 41 pence. Liberum Capital has upgraded Grafton Group to buy. Price target £6.30. Jefferies International has upgraded Wrangell Resources to buy. Price target, wow, £105. So they've been rallying so strongly, Wrangell. But Jefferies still has an upper price target there. I think it goes further. What are they, 95 quid at the moment, I think? Yeah. And Jefferies International has upgraded GlaxoSmithKline to buy. Price target, 20 quid. Here are the sells. Numis has downgraded Ashmore Group to reduce. Price target, £2.80. And Panmure Gordon has downgraded Zoopla Property Group to sell. Price target, £2.25. Thanks for listening. That's it for the podcast today. Hopefully there will be a weekend one, so stay tuned. Like as ever, thank you very much if you did vote for the podcast. It's really nice to win an award. Like I said with Nicola there, it shows we're doing something right, which is a good thing. Much appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.